okay?
Yeah.
Everybody okay?
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, John, Greg, and Ron, for putting this together and inviting me to be part of the liquor hall here in Columbia City. Tonight's reading is going to be pretty much about my last year, where I literally March 7th of last year I had a heart attack, and then I had triple bypass surgery, and I spent the year recovering. And just a few weeks ago, my husband and I were in Florida, and I had gallstone and gallbladder surgery as well as pancreatitis. So it's been a year. It's been quite a year. And so these poems reflect that year. And I want to thank everybody for arriving. This is a great crowd. I want to thank everybody for coming, my friends, and all the great listeners here. And, but I also want to dedicate tonight's reading to my husband, John, who has... bore the brunt of this year with a lot of grace and love. I could not have made it without him and his family. So thank you very much, and this is called The Heart Cycle. The first poem is called The Historical Heart. Remembering everything, the heart at last breaks. At first, in the undulating folds as a fetus of me came together and the cleft separated, a misaligned heart began, beating days upon days. And remembered the fall and mother carrying me to hospital, salt air summers in Balboa, running full round the boardwalk. The heart worked hard during polluted LA days, and strained when angrily I kicked the door in. Family strife constricted it, and bullying boys and throwdowns in playgrounds, my otherness, and all those dark nights longing for love. In the wanderlust days, it took in everything, love, men, and women, but small figures erupted when they moved on. The work of working, stress upon stress, angled in and targeted arteries. My heart rested in a sequoia, in wet grass meadows, morning sounds, quietude, air ripe with Sierra smells, and when bent over my keyboard, exploring words, forming sounds, and fitting them together to please my heart while holding everything inside vice-like. Death had a hand in this, grandmother, mother, friends. Nights with Trip assuaged my heart until he too left and blocked it from feeling for too many years forward. Were it not for the other mothers, fathers, families, and grandmother that kept it pulsing, my heart would be long dead. They made it a sea, deep enough to weather storms, until a day when love settled home, opened me up, and guided my heart's tempest until it was repaired. Remembering everything, my heart at last broke. And now, all we feel is gratitude. This next poem is called Hubris. I never want to know the many things they did when they flayed open my chest, my heart, cracked my sternum, and stopped my heart. Blissful ignorance is what I need, then and now, and some drugs, buckets of them. I was reminded too much of salmon, gutted torsos, lungs, hearts, parts. But that's how they do, these magicians, these doctors with long pedigrees. Confidence and hubris. Who wouldn't want a doctor waltzing in, attendants parting like the Red Sea, whatever music he wants when he holds you in his hands? I sang with Springsteen during the angiogram until the bad news came, when the world shifted and time coalesced in tears. When he did his work and I was out, I hoped my doctor played the world songbook. The Gerardus, guitars, bongos, canastas, pianos, ukuleles, for dying isn't elegant. I'm here now in morning silence, choosing songs for a friend's work, about what she says she's stressed. I want to tell her to stop, watch the breaking clouds, smell the rain-soaked ground, but it's a luxury of healing, forced meditation. I'll have to remember to do it in my new life, my afterlife. Check in with me in a year. Ask me what song is playing. Ask me the lake's temperature, the sea's color, and how it is to be finally married. My answers will be ready. Opportunities for stillness. Months of healing ahead seemed a prison, a sentence of no action, me tracking the sun across the day, a way to move time. But at the bank, a retired black man, warm, inviting eyes, says, healing is an opportunity for stillness, which knocked me down. His big, wide smile I could have disappeared in. We reached out, touched fingers, and I was left with stillness. We are travelers. We are diviners for justice. We are perpetrators burrowing into the unknowable. We search for forgotten milk pitchers, still life of apples, a ball left in the yard, a rake. These are the family names. Hart's retired young. Tom, Jack, Brad, and Jack. Remember. Reach for the bottle and let's regale them, telling stories long since hidden, festooned with gold leaf crystal. We can't know when that moment arrives, when our lives move into silence, into air echoing with all that has gone before. Nights are opportunities to hold each other close, in a still cluster, as twins are in the womb, dreaming of the day you come out gasping, knowing that you can be alive again. The last time I cheated death. The last time I cheated death was before the lights and fol-de-rol of Christmas. 30 days, a driven chair, Rosie and Oprah the past few hours, fellow chemo patients shared them. Some bald, some hollowed, but all fighting out winter to reach spring. When I think of them now, even now, I think of forest pines standing up, reaching out under white blankets, and I'm in awe. Christmas Eve, I looked around the table, family talking, tradition of tamales and chili rellenos, continuing. I imagined one less, me, outside in the desert night, candlelight refracting, murmur of voices and carols. Mother, we're not so different. We never connected. Why was this shared experience a year of gripping chair, the thing that bound us? Was it the fear of nothing having been completed, or a late reply we wish we'd sent? Not many years later, I saw you looking around Christmas table, the very same way, and you caught my eye. We both understood what was and will be lost, and how the world might be when we leave it. Then winter entered you, and by spring, you were gone. Years later, I learned how you felt about me. I was reminded of a photograph, roiling seas, hovering skies, a tip of wave just breaking. My book is a lake. For 13 years, I've walked along this lake, most with a dog sticking his mouth, longing eyes on the lake. Now I can only touch his stick, which he's offering me, and which I know disappoints him because I know I can't throw it into the water until I heal. I'm too focused on my heart's beat and that I've dropped more weight. I'm focused on uplifting my collar today as the weather has shifted back to northwest normal. Buster has a sense about me, and he is happy to eat the spring grass, dip his toes in, and swim circles around throwing imaginary sticks. I think how I turned his life around and how he keeps me walking, the very thing I have to do. Walking is a sort of meditation. I meditate on all the stories I've collected through my job. The one I keep going back to is of this beautiful woman from Denver,
there, a black tinkle danced around her thin face. Her smile, as she tells me about the book she wrote for her son following her first heart surgery, and how, after her second surgery, she runs marathons. But still, I shouldn't be here, but I am. I take pleasure when my barber vacuums my head after my first haircut, tasting my first Baja taco, my first sip of decaf coffee, avocados. Everything seems new. My book is a lake I walk along every day. Sometimes it's a mirror, others it is a place I could drown in. Today, the sun halos my dog's muzzle as he runs ahead of me and then looks back beseeching, and I come on. Climbing. Months on, I still feel pressure climbing a hill. Coming up from a slack lake, I make my way through winter trees, their fingers reaching out, touching cold air and mottled blue. On our way home, I place my hand on my husband's thigh to find the place I needed. When his hand surrounds mine, he tells me that it's warm, which means my heart is doing its work and sending strength outward. My finger traces scars and the years it took to earn them. Recovery has taken longer than expected. Each hill a reminder of what's been lost. Everything and nothing, according to who's talking.
It's working.
It's working.
The light. My year of healing is nearly complete. They said this length of time was required. I'm wondering what's been completed. If I write down all my accomplishments, the short list goes something like this. I survived. I remember faces in the ward's hallways, marked by much more time than mine, indicative of loose fleshed hands and legs, sockets where eyes once gleamed. This morning I was encouraged by how light stretched over the lake, illuminating grass and tree bark, etching their ages, one across a year's growth, the other across decades. I was struck at how I can beat either one, for in 2 months it will be spring, and winter's ball will close. My fingers snap a new blade of grass, I bring it to my lips, taste earth's awakening, sharpen my pencil, reach for a blank page, and make a list. The Fallen. Near home is a pathway redolent of green maple, fir, and moss. A woman I recognize quickly walks, keeping her heart rate up and steady. She is a patriot. We wear our quiet colors. Our army is 2+ a dog. Fighters, quickening our pace as we tell war stories. If we were to die in the trenches, we'd leave behind grandbabies, a husband, this lake, this path, the trees, even ones felled by too much weather. Sweat on our brows is our fight. At night, I'll say it, I lie awake until light, afraid this will end in sleep. Next to him. Fingers buried in flesh, keeping only my hand warm, until an alarm sounds discovery. And the final poem is called Source Lake Basin. I viewed snow as a sort of death, always the danger and sleep of it. Its gathering silence overtakes the largest mountains, holes where animals dwell, and whole trees disappear as if they didn't exist. Before the pancreatic scare, we climbed as far as we could. The crunch and slip snow makes underfoot was oddly reassuring. On either side, we were mountain-bound. Spires came in and out as viewfinder photos, clicking through cloud images like memories. When we reached the falls for once, I put my camera away and listened. The covered trees I imagined was everyone I'd lost. Men whose only desire was touch and release. My mother racked in pain, release. Elders, their exhausted, burdened bones released. We are all together in this church, the only one I care about. Tumbled water, bottomless pools, rounded snow hips, dripped into catch basins. We are at the place where life begins, the very source of it. I wept for not letting go, not reaching for the stashed pills. I ached for the man who traveled with me, whose touch is necessary. Turning away, I communed with all those I love, whose snow sleep soon will be over, so that their lives can again inform mine.